Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, three-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
It's Brandon Tierney and Sal Licata on WFAN The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Oh, BT and Sal on The Fan, except I'm the only one in the studio today. We do have BT on the line, though, to explain what is going on. I mean, I know you were going to the Yankee game last night, BT. I know it was the longest game ever.
Oh, I just got home.
But my God, I mean, can you suck it up and show up for work today? What is going on? Why are you not in studio with your partner today?
And by the way, hey, gangs, can we take care of the situational hitting stuff before we get to October? No. So as you know, we talked about it on the show last night. I was at the stadium. Had an awesome time. It was WFAN Appreciation Night. And yes, by the way, Sal, I did hear your name. They did say BT and Sal. So
okay,
they took care of business. Though we made sure that was in the copy.
Because the video I did not hear my name. I heard co-host Brandon Tierney.
Well, maybe they didn't say your name. Yeah. No, they definitely did. There's a couple of videos floating around. So I was out there, got out there early, and was on the field, which was awesome. And as you know, there were 15,000 T-shirts out there for John and Susan. Mm-hmm. John was back in the booth. He sounded amazing, as always, with the golden pipes. And I was hanging out with my friends at Verizon, and we were on the field. So what I found out shortly thereafter is that Yankees presented me with this amazing, humbling opportunity. And I know that Susan's a bit under the weather. So, I guess if I said it on the radio enough and wondered why they were giving everybody a chance to get in the booth but me, I guess they finally listened. I'm getting to do the Yankee game tonight with Justin Shackle and tomorrow as well. So I'm pumped, dude.
Wow. Congratulations, yeah. Man. I'm happy for you. And I'll tell you this. I've learned something from you in our year plus together now. Hmm. Persistence pays off. I mean, you were kicking and screaming and begging and yelling, and here it is. Now you're getting the opportunity to be in that Yankee booth. Have you thought about that? I mean, you only had a few hours of sleep to digest this.
Yeah.
I mean, you're going to be calling a Yankee game tonight along with Shackle. How great is that?
I mean, listen, Sal. And it's funny. I'm in my home office now, right? And I'm looking at something, when you laminate an article or something to commemorate something that like an accomplishment, right? So I've got from the Poughkeepsie Journal, which is the home paper by Marist, right? And this was early, early in my career. And I'm looking at it now. God, it's even weathered. Like the edges are frayed. And I'm looking at this, and I'm so young, and I have hair, and I'm at one of my early stations, and the headline says, "Broadcasting dream comes true for Tierney," right? And that's just for me, and that's for my family. And but I share that to answer your, or to at least respond to the way you framed it. Like, I've dreamt big, man, and I'm not trying to overstate this. I mean, I'm going to be in for two games. Susan's, it's her booth. She's a Hall of Famer. She's amazing. But if you told me at the time of this article, or if you told me when I was 10 or when I was 12, emulating Don Mattingly in the backyard, and there's just certain things, no matter how big you dream, you just don't think that, the world's big enough for that to actually happen. So that's why I really do use the word humbled. And, listen, the Yankees had to sign off on this, so I'm very thankful for them and to them. I mean, of course, Chris Oliveiro, Ryan Hurley, you for carrying the mail today. Oh, yeah, by the way, tomorrow. I'm out tomorrow as well.
And tomorrow as well. I was like, what, are you kidding me? Yeah, let me do the show solo, baby. I miss these solo shows. Hey, it's a good thing Jazz Chisholm's not in the lineup tonight, huh?
Oh, God, can you imagine? Dude, can you imagine the drop for the morning show if I actually messed up his name the way I messed it up prior in the Yankee booth? Oh, God. I'll tell you what they better not do. They, you know, they better not leave 13,000 runners on base because, hey, listen, I mean, I know I'm going to be in the Yankee booth.
Hey, you better be nice, big boy. You better be nice. Be on your best behavior. Come on, this is different. You can get the talk show out of you when you return on Friday.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
You better be nice in that booth. I don't care if they go 1-for-26. Try to paint the rosy picture. And use all that knowledge at Marist to be a good analyst here. I really do think, BT, you're going to excel at this. I texted you a little bit last night.
You did.
I do think you're going to do well at this. I'm looking forward to listening to you.
I can't wait. I'm like, it's a different perspective. I was in the WFAN Odyssey Suite last night with, as I said, with my Verizon friends, and I'm watching the game, and I look over, and our suite is, you know, right along the first base line, and then all night I just kept peering at the Yankee radio booth, and I'm like, just can't wait to jump in there. It's really, really, it's awesome, man. But honestly, last night was not a good. I know you're going to get into this coming up.
Yes.
Oh, dude, I know the fangs are out there. You're ready to pounce. I mean, really, the situational hitting was bothersome again. You know, you start out, you got Soto going yard, Judge going yard, the place is popping, Heels throwing cheese, and all of a sudden, Heels back, locks up, Yankees really don't score again. You know, and even with Clay, it's funny because think about the things that we've hit the last couple of weeks. You know, Clay Holmes and how he's melted down a bit. Volpe was a big story yesterday with mm-hmm. John Boy and Booney. You know, Volpe comes out, gets a couple of knocks. Holmes comes out, strike three. Like the things that have plagued them recently were actually great. And they still, you know, lost a tough game, albeit to a good team, but you want to bounce back. Hey, listen. I don't plan on bringing too many L's to the radio booth here. Bringing some dubs tonight and tomorrow.
Well, they got your guy on the mound tonight, Nestor, looking for a big bounce back.
Yeah, now that's funny because you did say before, you said, all right, straddle that line, big boy. You know, and listen, you got to keep it real. I mean, Susan keeps it real.
Yep.
I mean, I'm not going to do a talk show, obviously. Well, depends what the score is. Now, I mean, I'm going to do the game, but the Yankees ain't clicking. You know, I'm going to paint the story that is right in front of me. That's the only way I know how to do it, Sal.
What's the attire for tonight? Are you going suit? I saw last night, Gio making a big deal of it, saying you were dressed well and all that stuff. What are we looking at tonight for the get up in booth?
Yeah, I'm going to rock the tie. I'll rock a nice. You know, I'm not a big suit guy. I've got a bunch, but I haven't really worn them. Even when I do St. John's, whatever, I like to wear like sports jackets rather than an actual full mm-hmm. suit. So I'll probably just go, you know, fairly conservative. It is the Yankees after all.
Yep.
A little white, crisp white shirt.
Clean shaven or what? I noticed you got a little scruff going, but, you know, the Yankees policy. We're going clean shaven.
Ooh, you know, it's funny. I was thinking about that. Well, that is funny you brought that up. I do like myself more with the little facial hair like you as well.
Mm-hmm.
I'll probably rock the razor. I'll probably tighten it up a little bit.
There
clean it up
go.
A little bit.
Come on, you're a Yankee today in the Yankee booth.
Woo!
By the way, what were you doing last night dapping up one of the players of the Guardians? You know that dude?
I don't know who he is. It could have been Ramirez. I don't know who the hell he is. I don't know. Listen, you know what it was? I was waiting. We were, I guess they introduced us right around 6. In fact, it was around 6:45. I was getting kind of close to the first pitch, 6:45, 6:50. So we were, me and my buddy Chris from Verizon, we were right behind home plate by the Yankee logo.
Mm-hmm.
And we were taking the pictures, and that's when they did the introduction. I was hoping, because think about this. You go to a game, usually, invariably, you see a couple of guys come out 10 minutes before the game, take a little jog in the outfield. Yeah, I'm looking to dap up some Yankees, you know, get some pictures for the kids. No Yankees came out, so I'm like, all right, I guess these chumps over with Cleveland will settle. I had no idea who they were. They had no idea who I was. You know what it was? The camera and the video was on me because we chronicled this. I don't know. I felt I had to do something.
Okay.
I don't know.
So you just walked up to a random Guardians player and was like, what's up, bro, and dapped him up? I mean, it was
Yeah, actually, what I said was, I said, you ready to feel the boogie tonight? That's what I said. Yeah, I did say something. Yeah. I did. Yeah. He's like, get out of here, Baldy.
Yeah.
Keep moving.
Yeah, and then they pounded the Yankees in extra innings.
Yes, they did.
So there you have it. Brandon Tierney, one half of the BT and Sal show. will be in the Yankee booth tonight and tomorrow. And for Susan, who was under the weather, we hope Susan gets well soon, and we'll see her right after that. Yep. And you'll be filling in, doing a nice job tonight with Justin Shackle tonight and tomorrow. I'm happy for you, BT. Seriously, congrats. I know we joked around about it on the air, and you know, you were asking for an opportunity. Well, you never know sometimes in life, and this opportunity has been presented to you, and I think you're going to do very well with it. So have fun. We'll miss you here on the show, but you know we'll be listening. Enjoy it.
I don't take it lightly, man. I mean, the voices that have been in there, you know, from Mel Allen and obviously up to John and Susan and everybody in between, it's the lineage is amazing. I got one quick question for you before I go.
Yes.
All right, so I used to do this to Tiki. Ironically, it came up on the show yesterday as well. Anytime Tiki was doing a game on Fox, I'm like, dude, you better get that Tiki Tierney reference in there. Let's go. So what is the over-under? You and I like to kick around the gambling stuff. What is the over-under for both games for BT and Sal references? What are we setting this at?
I know you, so I know there's going to be a few at the very least. Yeah. I didn't even need to mention it to you, but I also want you to do your thing.
Of course.
It's going to work its way in naturally because it's part of your life, obviously, doing the show 5 days a week with me. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure it'll be part of the conversation with Shackle as you're doing these games, you know, today, tonight and tomorrow. I would say I'd probably go over three at least.
It's funny. I had 2.5 written
down. There you go.
And we're an over guy. We're not rooting for nothing to happen. We don't bet the under. We like to go over. So I think that's attainable.
Hey, man, have fun. Seriously,
thanks,
this is a great opportunity being at Yankee Booth. Take it all in. Enjoy it. Go prep. And don't score it up. Don't embarrass yourself or this show, all right?
God. Oh, God. Can you imagine if I have one of these all-time bad moments? Oh, God. Oh, please.
No, but don't worry. Boomer and G are not going to play any cuts back. You know that.
Oh, yeah, sure. None. Yeah. Here's the pitch to Jazz. Yeah, that Shackle's David Jazz is out. I will. Hey, listen, I can't wait. I appreciate you, again, carrying the mail today and tomorrow. It wasn't even my idea to not come to the show. Chris is like, listen, just you got a lot going on. Take care of it. And again, you know, I want to thank the Yankees. I really appreciate this. Obviously, Chris and Ryan, our bosses. I'm going to represent and do the best I can, and I'll be listening to you today. Thank you, buddy.
You know, that's a good point, BT.
What?
Carton did his show and then the game. Carton did a double dip. Like, you couldn't do the show today? You couldn't sit here and do a little talk show with me and then do the game at night?
I mean, don't take it the wrong way, but I'm moving on to bigger things.
I'm happy for you, man. We'll talk to you on the other side.
I love you, man. I'll talk to you later. Dude.
Love you too. Well, there you go. BT in the Yankee booth tonight and tomorrow, filling in for Susan, who's a little bit under the weather. So make sure you check that out. Now that BT's out of the way, living his dream, going to be in the Yankee booth tonight. We're going to take a break, and then we're going to come back and do a solo Sal show. And we're going to talk about those Yankees from last night. And the bigger picture with this Yankee team, the flaws that have been there all year long. Is everybody ready to acknowledge that this team ain't it? I'm going to get to that when we come back. BT and Sal on the Fan.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, 3-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Annoy people on the quiet car and call the Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
BT and Sal on the Fan. BT is off as he'll be getting ready for the Yankee booth tonight. He'll be in the Yankee booth tonight and tomorrow, filling in for Susan, who's a little bit under the weather. Then he'll be back together on Friday. Okay, let's get the show started now. So you watched the Yankees last night, and again, you're reminded, like, I don't get the overreaction to the Yankees winning those five games in a row going into the trade deadline, you know, winning that final game, or the final two games against Boston, and then sweeping away the Phillies. It was like, all the 7 weeks of bad baseball was a race because the Yankees won five straight and who they acquired, Jazz Chisholm, and away we go with the Yankees. But yet since then, they've been an average team. Okay, maybe they're better than the worst team or second worst team in baseball over the 7 week stretch, but they've leveled off to where they're a little bit, you know, around a 500 team for the last 20 games or so against teams that aren't very good. Now, last night, Cleveland Guardians are one of the better teams, and they come in and they end up beating the Yankees in a game where, all right, you know, the Guardians aren't that great either, but the Yankees were so sloppy throughout the course of the game and then using every reliever, not hitting with runners in scoring position all night long, and eventually getting beaten by the Guardians, where in extra innings, it feels like the home team should win with the new rules, with the guy at place on second base. It feels like the home team should be winning almost every time, if not the majority of time. But the best thing you could say about the Yankees is that as a team, not individual, as a team, because obviously you could look at Judge and Soto and those guys are all world. And even in a game last night where those two hit home runs, they still find a way to lose a game. But the best thing that you could say about the Yankees is that, well, nobody else is that good either. And that's something that we've heard throughout the course of the season. Well, look at the Orioles. Are the Orioles that good? No. Oh, look at Cleveland. Oh, do you trust anybody in the AL Central? Oh, look at the West. Who in the West is going to beat the Yankees? And that's not good enough for the New York Yankees. It really shouldn't be a good enough excuse for anybody. Well, they're not good either. Well, he did it too. Well, she did it too. No, that's not good enough. Focus on what you do and what the Yankees are as a team. And Yankee fans can pretend all they want. The Yankees themselves can pretend all they want. Whether it's Cashman, whether it's Boone, Hal, whoever. The reality is, nothing about watching this Yankees team as a team, because obviously you have to leave Judge and Soto out, who, yes, when you look at those two, they're the top of the sport. Those two would say, yeah, we could win a World Series, just those two guys alone, but you've seen, even with those two guys alone who've been healthy, producing at the highest of levels, nothing else about this team as a team screams to you that they can be the best team in Major League Baseball. Other than, oh yeah, well, who is? Look at the Phillies. They aren't that good, or the Dodgers. But that's not good enough. The Yankees should be better than everybody else. And no matter what, going into the postseason this year, and we know the Yankees are going to be going into the postseason, the feel is not going to be, okay, the Yankees are going to win the World Series, or at least this is a team that should win the World Series. Now let's see if they live up to those lofty expectations. And that has happened before, and the Yankees have fallen short before, obviously every year since 2009. Not that every year going in you felt like the Yankees were going to win the World Series, but a lot of the time, maybe you feel like, certainly for me, after 2017, it felt like, okay, yeah, this is going to be the Yankees' year. 2018, 2019, okay, 2020, all right, this is going to be their year. And really since 2021, it's been a little bit different where they failed in the regular season in 2021. We've gone over the history. Don't need to go into that. But for the Yankees to get to that next level, the way that we followed this team and respected this team and believed in this team, whether it was back in the 90s or 2009, whatever it may be, or the early 2000s, where they were in the World Series every year, even though they weren't, you know, 2001, 2003, whatever. They need to be better than everybody else. The results may vary. Like, if the Yankees are better than everybody else definitively in the regular season going into the playoffs and they get beat, okay, that's unfortunate. Obviously, you don't want that to be the case. But that is a different level to be the best in the regular season than going to the playoffs as favorites and either fail, succeed, whatever. Right now, they're not that. Right now, they're one of a bunch of teams that are going to be playoff teams that have a chance of winning a World Series. And that's not good enough. That's not good enough for the Yankees or for the New York Yankees standards that they set themselves. That's the big issue. And I feel like the Yankees don't even acknowledge that. Brian Cashman, when he was on with BT and I a couple weeks back, basically said the same thing, like, hey, well, we'll see. Yeah, we put our piece in place. I'll say that we've done as much as anybody else, or you know, we'll take our chance in the postseason. Yeah, okay, you're on par with all the other playoff teams. You know, if the Yankees were really that good, they would have been pulling away from the Orioles, just the same way we could look at the Orioles and say, well, if they were really that good, they'd be pulling away from the Yankees. Neither team is. You know, Cleveland's good, okay, but how good are they? You know, the Astros they were awful to start the year. They've righted the ship, and now they're still a threat because, you know, they're the Astros, and they always win in the postseason. but they've staved off the Mariners in the ALS. Like maybe the Astros, you look at them being more legit than anybody else because of the pedigree that they have. But the Yankees aren't at that top level. And especially with Soto and Judge, especially in a year where you go trade for Juan Soto, you should be at that top level. And night in, night out, especially after the very early part of the season. I don't care what their record says. Well, Yankees have the most wins in baseball. We went over that earlier in the week where, yeah, no team in baseball is on pace for 100 wins. Hasn't happened since 2014. So, oh, yeah, the Yankees are one of a bunch of teams that can win the World Series just because the odds are you're in the postseason, you have a chance. Technically, if you're in the postseason, you have a chance to win a World Series. Not because they're built to be a World Series team. Big difference. And that's the problem. And if you watch this team, whether it's the lackadaisical defense at times, the boneheaded mistakes that they make, the base running. I mean, Trent Grisham is in the game as a pinch runner. And you want to blame Luis Rojas? I mean, I don't know. They showed the replay where it could have looked like a stop sign. I think Grisham just slowed down on his own, assuming that he wasn't going to be given the green light, assuming that he wasn't going to be waved home by Rojas. Point is, you're Grisham. You're in that game for that specific reason. And he didn't do the job. Whether it's watching LeMahieu night and night. I mean, why are the New York Yankees continuing to roll LeMahieu out there? And I don't want to hear Jazz being hurt as an excuse. Not enough. And the same people that were ripping, and I'm talking to BT too, he's not here, but same people like BT that were ripping this Yankee team for that 7-week stretch where they didn't do enough, they weren't good enough, need major changes at the trade deadline, they got sucked in after 5 games against the Red Sox and Phillies and the addition of Jazz. And they thought that that was it. Add Jazz Chisholm and the 5-game winning streak, Yankees are back. Wrong. They weren't back. They're not back. They never were. They're playing better than the second worst team in baseball after that 7-week stretch, but they're still not any good. They're one of a bunch of okay teams that are going to be in the playoffs. They're held to a higher standard. With a lineup with Soto and Judge, why can't the Yankees drive in runs with runners in scoring position? Why is it so difficult? It shouldn't be that hard. And if not for the emergence of Austin Wells, who maybe hit into some bad luck last night, the Yankees would be even worse off than what they are right now. And yet Boone and Cashman continue to, and Boone's more specifically, I mean, Cashman again yesterday, with you talking to the Post about Volpe. We went over the Boone stuff with John Boy, you know, about Volpe. Even that is symbolic of what this Yankee franchise, and I thought John Boy nailed it with a tweet yesterday. He's as smart as they come and as a big and knowledgeable Yankee fan as there is. And he twists the Yankees into pretzels because he's got answers and they don't. They just keep deflecting and defending without any legit merit behind it. But this has been a pattern for the Yankees for years where they say one thing, they do one thing, and they believe in one thing, and then all of a sudden they change. Whether it is, we used the example yesterday where, you know, they shoved IKF down our throat, or go back before that with Gleyber Torres as a shortstop before eventually saying, you know what, he's not a shortstop, he's a second baseman. Oh, okay, well, I wonder where you could have heard that before. Or with IKF. IKF cannot be a shortstop on a winning team. And the Yankees then eventually, oh, no, Boone with the metrics. Oh, no, look at the metrics defensively. And then finally they get him off of there as they go into the playoffs. And now the defending of Volpe, and this is a different story, and I'm not sure where it came from, with sending Volpe to the minor leagues or that type of talk, because I would never say that, but let's not pretend that Anthony, like Boone and Cashman talk about Volpe as if he's a superstar. That's what the expectation was of Volpe. And nobody wants to hear, well, he's a 23-year-old kid. Yeah, well, he's in the big leagues. And when you're in the big leagues, that's the time to produce, not learn on the job. Volpe has clearly been learning on the job these first 2 years. And you can talk about his numbers being incrementally better. In most cases, the power numbers are down. Oh, yeah, but he's a great defensive player. Yeah, that's terrific. And that's great. He's a great defensive player. That's nice. But that's not the expectation. He was a number one pick, a top pick for this team. He was supposed to be a star in the game. He's not a star right now. Now, I still believe in Volpe, but at some point he's got to be that. And I really do think his inconsistency is part of the Yankees' problems. And they overlooked that. Boone, defiantly, he's a winning player. Okay, Aaron, sure, he's a winning player. Now do Gleyber. Is Gleyber a winning player? Because Boone and Cashman will defend Gleyber Torres. I see they continue to run him out there at second base. And when Gleyber does stupid things, bonehead things that cost you games, which has happened since he's been here, what does Boone say? He defends him. Well, or just a, you know, one pop-up, or oh, just this play. You know, that's how Gleyber is. But you look at the analytics and you look at the statistics. It's the same thing with multiple players for multiple years. They just don't get it. And if you watch this Yankee team night in, night out, you know this team ain't it. It doesn't mean definitively they can't go on a run in the postseason, but I can say definitively they're not likely to go on that run based on what we've watched here for now the better part of 10 weeks. Like, you could say in the beginning of the year the Yankees look like a team that couldn't be beat, and you would be right. But that has fallen off. Verdugo has done nothing. Volpe's been inconsistent. LeMahieu was washed up. Stanton, not having his presence felt all the return of Giancarlo. Gleyber, nothing. It's Judge and Soto, and now a little bit of Austin Wells. Oh, Ben Rice had a moment. Now what? Not to mention the pitching with the bullpen. Do you trust Clay Holmes? No. Who does at this point? I mean, they have some arms, sure, but I mean, their bullpen's not. What is this Yankees' strength? We know Soto and Judge. Yes, that's not enough. That has been proven. What is the identity? What is the strength of this New York Yankee team? Because right now, to me, there's more weaknesses than strengths. And I asked Cashman directly, what's your biggest weakness? He said he doesn't think they have any. So now you tell me. Are the Yankees being honest with themselves? We see it. Do the Yankees actually see it? And that may be the biggest problem of all. BT and Sal on the fan. Let's get to your calls. 888-808-1019. Chris is in Stamford. What's up, Chris?
Hey, how's it going?
How are you, Chris?
I'm good, thanks. I just wanted to really talk and vent my frustrations about Aaron Boone. I've always felt from day one, he never was qualified for the job. He had no coaching experience, and he was hired because he hit a home run in 2003 that everybody remembers.
Yeah, but this is not on, this is not on Aaron Boone, Chris. This is the furthest thing from Aaron
Boone. I'm not saying it's all on Aaron Boone, but I think a large part of it is because he's not willing to hold the players accountable. It's one thing when they lose games. They've lost games before. Even in my lifetime, I've seen the Yankees not make the playoffs before. So this is not the worst Yankee team of all time by any means. But I've never seen a Yankee team that was so incapable of doing the easy things well and doing the basic stuff well. And I think that's the part that goes back to the coaching staff, not just Aaron Boone, but the hitting coach, the pitching coach, and the entire coaching staff.
Yeah, I can't blame Boone, and thank you for the call, Chris. I know why you're saying that. And as a whole, they just haven't been good enough. I mean, they've been sloppy. Watch the game last night. Now you want to say you blame the manager for that? Here's where I would criticize Boone. I don't think Boone is either honest enough with us, meaning the media and the fans, or honest enough with himself in a true assessment of the team. I've never spoken to Boone personally. I'd love to. I've never spoken to him. I don't know. We've had his brother on, and his brother seems to think that Aaron, behind the scenes, would be a little more critical and accountable, hold players more accountable than he does publicly. But I see him get frustrated with John Boy on occasion. I see Boone get frustrated with the media, and I do love his passion. I love when he gets on an umpire, and I don't think he's the problem. But the one thing that I would say about Boone is that he's overly protective of the players, and it gets old and it gets tired. And I've heard the same song and dance for years with the New York Yankees. The same song and dance for years. Guys aren't getting the job done. He's making excuses for them. They'll be all right. He's a winning player. He's a winning player. But you make those same excuses for Gleyber Torres, who nobody in their right mind would ever call a winning player. And you make the same excuses for him. Now, I'm not saying that Volpe and Gleyber are in the same boat. Different reasons here. John Boy had an excellent, excellent tweet. And he had receipts to show it. As a matter of fact, we'll play that when we come back. I want Zoo to get that set up. I want to play the... Because there was... Remember when Cashman got fiery in the offseason with the media, where he was defending his moves and, you know, thinking that the Yankees were just hurt last year, and that's why, you know, the biggest reason for them not making the postseason. And he was called out on a bunch of things, and he went on. And John Boy cut up one soundbite of him talking about Volpe, where he got really testy, and then the same thing on Boone. And he had an excellent tweet basically summing up the issues with the Yankees, going back to them passing on stud free agent shortstops in a championship window, which we talked about live on the radio every day. What are we doing here? Oh, you're going to hold on to Volpe, you're going to have IKF, stopgap shortstop, and not go get and spend big money on big-time players where you could have already had a championship or two. Okay, if you're going to do that, then Volpe better be the goods and a stud. And now it's, well, he's learning in his first 2 years. Well, how many years do we have here? I mean, maybe by the time Volpe kicks it in a gear, Judge is going to be past his prime. You have that play, that cut, too. I want to hear this. Now, this is from the tweet that John Boy tweeted out yesterday of both Cashman and then Boone. This is Cashman last offseason. Starts with Cashman last offseason defending Anthony Volpe. Go ahead.
Add it all up. He's a winning player.
No. Zoo, hold on. That's the wrong one. That's the Boone cut. Did you go to John Boy's tweet?
I got the from in the system.
Go to John Boy's tweet from 18 hours ago, and I want you to play that exact soundbite on the air. It's Cashman, who met the media last year. I mean, we probably have it somewhere in the system from last year. But the way John Boy did it, and it's right there, and we give him credit for it cutting it up, and he summed it up perfectly. And there is no defense to that because he's got all the receipts. He's got all the facts. The Yankees say one thing, another result happens, and then they say another thing. Cashman, it was something, I'll paraphrase for a second before we find it. It was something of him basically saying, like, oh, yeah, well, I look forward to all you guys next year when Volpe's playing like a superstar, questioning Volpe and us and the Yankees as a system. And now this year when we are questioning Volpe and his development and his inconsistencies, it's, oh, he's a winning player and he's a great defensive shortstop. By the way, I've heard this multiple times, and this is not a Met Yankee thing. This is just a fact thing. Everybody keeps saying Volpe's the best defensive shortstop in the game. He's not even the best defensive shortstop in the town. You have it, Zoo? All right, go ahead, play this.
I look forward to that. Yep. I look forward to you telling me that when Volpe crushes it offensively this year for us, that you'll say, hey, man, I guess your development program did a good job. And it was just sea legs under him his first maiden voyage year with not much triple Anders belt.
He's hitting like a league average or below league average hitter. Like,
well below, yeah.
Add it all up, he's a winning player.
Yeah, see, John Boy summed it up perfectly. That's exactly right. Cashman says, I look forward to you all telling me when Volpe is crushing it next year and giving him the excuse of, okay, he's just getting his sea legs under him after his rookie season. Fine. 209, but 21 homers, right, showed some promise. And again, I love Volpe and think Volpe's going to be a superstar. But what happened in year two? Where is it? He's hitting 250. He's got 11 home runs. So now we're going to hang our hats on. Wow, look at the stolen bases that he has and look at the great defense. He's a winning player. And those things may be true, but Volpe was supposed to be better than this, way better. He's been horrible as of late. He's been inconsistent. Start of the year like a superstar. That was the Volpe that we were expecting. And what has he been as of late? He's one of the primary reasons for the Yankees lineup inconsistencies. It's the Yankees not acknowledging the reality of the situation. Like Boone or Cashman, and nobody, I don't know where this idea came of sending him down to the minors. John Boy never suggested that. Who the hell would say send him down to the minors at this point? Talked about a reset. For some reason, the Post asked Cashman about being sent down to the minors. That doesn't make any sense. Nobody ever said that. A reset and a little bit of a break, just like they did with Kleber, that is what John Boy was talking about. That maybe that's needed for Volpe. Boone then flips out. The Post reaches out to Cashman. Cashman's got a comment on that. Nobody. Now, last year we talked about sending Volpe down potentially, which made sense in his rookie year. Nobody's talking about that now, but I mean, maybe we should start talking about that because he's not the player that they said he was going to be. That's a fact. And they are not acknowledging that that's the case. That's a bigger problem than not even hitting with runners in scoring position. I don't think the Yankees realize how bad it is. You look at the record, they're going to say we're as good as anybody else. That's great. You're the Yankees. You should be held to a higher standard. And in a year where the league is wide open for a dominant baseball team, there's no excuse why you added Juan Soto and didn't do enough, whether it's in the offseason or at the trade deadline, or clean up and trim the fat that you've had here that hasn't succeeded for years. There's no excuse why you didn't take that next step to be that much better than everybody else. Wouldn't have guaranteed a World Series, but you'd feel a lot better about yourselves if the Yankees were you know, head and shoulders above everybody else, the clear best team going into October, as opposed to one of the handful of teams that are going into October with a chance to win a World Series.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Here's Aaron Boone to lead off. His first at bat of the game. There's a fly ball deep to left. It's on its way. There it goes. And the Yankees are gone.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
It is time for the Wendy's Yankees Turning Point of the Game contest. Wendy's, the official hamburger of the New York Yankees. Be the first call to correctly identify yesterday's turning point of the game at 866-540-WFAN. That's 866-540-9326. And you'll receive two pairs of tickets to a Yankee 2024 regular season game. It's all from your flagship station for New York Yankees baseball, The Fan. 888-808-1019, the number of calls. We talk some Yankees. We'll work in some Mets and maybe get in some football as well. You know, we'll be on vacation next week. And then once we get back, baby, it is football season. I cannot wait for it. Already working on, I got my Giants tickets. I'm going to Giants Cowboys on that Thursday night. Looking forward to that. Going to try to make sure I get some Jets Patriots tickets secured so I can go to that game. I cannot wait for football season. Also, fall is in the air. I mean, you wake up the last 2 days, you got to have a little bit of a hoodie on, you go outside, you can feel the football in the air. So I cannot wait for that, but we'll do that obviously in a couple of weeks as we get ready for the season. We'll watch the Giants-Jets on this Saturday and see what's in store there as far as who plays, who doesn't. Maybe we have an announcement on that at some point. I mean, it is Wednesday. The game's Saturday. You got to find out at some point who's going to be playing. And I think there's a joint practice today with the Jets and Giants at Florham Park, if I'm not mistaken. But we'll do more on that later. We'll get into the Mets' loss from last night. Just more big picture stuff with them as the Braves beat the Phillies again. Phillies better be careful. Otherwise, that division can be lost in the final month of the season here. All right, let's get back to the Yankee calls. 888-808-1019. Ari is calling from West Orange. What's up, Ari?
Hey, Sal, how you doing? Thanks Good. For taking the call, and a pleasure to talk to you again. So, you know, you already hit on a lot of the points I wanted to make. So just, I did not buy in, even with the good week they had, obviously, with, the Red Sox and sweeping the Phillies and all that stuff. I still did not buy in. Ever since that week, they're basically a 500 team. That's who they are. That's who they've been since the beginning of June. You know, there's no other way around that. Your record are, yes, you know, they're 20 games over, but that's, again, based on April, May. So they're basically a little bit better than the team that we saw in June. You know, 2 points with the lineup, and this is where Boone, you referenced it about defending his guys. He defends his veterans. It's not really the younger guys, it's the veterans. Verdugo, to still get at bats, you know, you're seeing why a division rival was so quick to just trade him, get him off your team. It was easy to see why the Red Sox just wanted to get rid of this guy, obviously.
He's terrible.
He's hitting 230. Yeah, he goes 0-6 last night. He'll be in the lineup tonight. There's no doubt he'll be playing tonight.
He's allergic to batting gloves. Is he allergic to hitting with runners in scoring position?
He'll be in the lineup tonight. And that's the point you made, accountability. There is no accountability. DJ LeMahieu, why is he even on this roster? What does he offer you? The guy is hitting 190. Why? Because he got a grand slam 2 weeks ago and everyone went nuts? I mean, it's enough already with getting him in the lineup. And then, you know, with the Volpe situation, I have to answer this question. And I've talked about it with a couple of my Yankee friends. It seems like Volpe gets preferential treatment over guys like Cabrera, Peraza, Rice. And now you're seeing it with Austin Wells. Those guys cannot get consistent at bat. They're young guys. They've all been in the minors for years. Volpe was in the minors for like basically a day. He got handed the shortstop job because he had a great spring training,
right,
which obviously we know spring training needs very little. You know, he's okay. He's definitely not a superstar, and for the Yankees to keep defending him, and you look at guys like Bobby Witt Jr. and Gunnar Henderson
right,
and De La Cruz, you know, so what is the why do they keep running him out there? He's in a massive slump.
What are they supposed to do, Ari? And you have a lot there, and thank you for the call. Appreciate you checking in. What are they supposed to do? What do you mean keep running him out there? I mean, once they made the decision, and they didn't just hand him the job. Remember, it was supposed to be Peraza's job. Going into that spring training a couple years ago, Peraza was the favorite. Volpe won it from him. So they didn't just give it to him. He earned it. He won it in spring training. But once you give him that job, now he's the Yankee shortstop moving forward, and you got to be prepared to take the lumps along the way. And they did last year. I mean, we know they missed out on the postseason. Guy hit 209. Oh, he won a gold glove. He won a gold glove. Yeah, so did Ray Ordonez. And he also did it hitting better than 209, I might add. Not much better, but you get the point. And I'm not saying Ordóñez, like, I'm just saying that to be facetious. Obviously, I know Volpe's a much better player offensively than Roy Ordóñez, but let's not make it like that's the be-all end-all. He plays terrific defensive shortstop. Oh, so that's what it is then? That's what Volpe's doing here? What, he's an 8-9 hitter who's just going to give you a gold glove and steal some bases? No, that's not what a top pick is supposed to be. He's supposed to be better than that. They said it themselves. Cashman said it. We played you the cup before. Volpe was crushing it this year. He was crushing it this year to start the year. And he fell off again. He's been inconsistent. It's not year one. It's year two. And how come other young shortstops that you referenced, you know, Witt, Henderson, whatever, De La Cruz, how come other young shortstops have no problem being superstars right away? This is not an age thing either. This is a Volpe thing. Now, I still believe in Volpe. I mean, I've seen the flashes of superstardom. So I'm somebody who's been wrong, proven wrong too, because I said earlier in the year, I'd take Volpe, Soto, Judge, even over Betts, Freeman, Ohtani. And a lot of you were saying, oh, come on, Sal, you're nuts to put Volpe in that category. But I believed in him. And what he was doing, I believed it was legit. Hammering the ball the other way. Hitting it with authority. The speed. You just see it. He looks like an electrifying player. And yet, for the second straight season, you look at the numbers and you watch him on a night-in, night-out basis, it's immensely frustrating. Because the potential is there. The results are nowhere near where they need to be. And yet, we're the ones who hold him accountable. And John Boy in particular in this case, and Boone flips out and gets mad. Maybe because the truth hurts. Maybe because he thinks the negative talk and comments are going to be detrimental to the development of Volpe because he can't take any criticism. I don't know, but we're not making this stuff up. This is the reality.
You talked about it on The Fan.
Here's Aaron Boone to lead off. His first at bat of the game. There's a fly ball deep to left. It's on its way. There it goes. And the Yankees are going to the World Series.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
It is time for the Wendy's Yankees Turning Point of the Game Contest. Wendy's, the official hamburger of the New York Yankees. Be the first call to correctly identify yesterday's Turning Point of the Game at 866-540-WFAN. That's 866-540-9326. And you'll receive two pairs of tickets to a Yankee 2024 regular season game. It's all from your flagship station for New York Yankees baseball. The Fan. 888-808-1019, the number of calls. We talk some Yankees. We're working some Mets and maybe getting some football as well. You know, we'll be on vacation next week. And then once we get back, baby, it is football season. I cannot wait for it. Already working on. I got my Giants tickets. I'm going to Giants Cowboys on that Thursday night. Looking forward to that. Going to try to make sure I get some Jets Patriots tickets secured so I can go to that game. I cannot wait for football season. Also, fall is in the air. I mean, you wake up the last 2 days, you got to have a little bit of a hoodie on, you go outside, you could feel the football in the air. So I cannot wait for that, but we'll do that obviously in a couple of weeks as we get ready for the season. We'll watch the Giants-Jets on this Saturday and see what's in store there as far as who plays, who doesn't. Maybe we have an announcement on that at some point. I mean, it is Wednesday. The game's Saturday. You got to find out at some point who's going to be playing. And I think there's a joint practice today with the Jets and Giants at Florham Park, if I'm not mistaken. But we'll do more on that later. We'll get into the Mets' loss from last night. Just more big picture stuff with them as the Braves beat the Phillies again. Phillies better be careful. Otherwise, that division can be lost in the final month of the season here. All right, let's get back to the Yankee calls. 888-808-1019. Ari is calling from West Orange. What's up, Ari?
Hey, Sal, how you doing? Thanks good for taking the call, and a pleasure to talk to you again. So, you know, you already hit on a lot of the points I wanted to make. So just, I did not buy in, even with the good week they had, obviously, with, the Red Sox and a sweep in the Phillies and all that stuff. I still did not buy in. Ever since that week, they're basically a 500 team. That's who they are. That's who they've been since the beginning of June. You know, there's no other way around that. Your record are, yes, you know, they're 20 games over, but that's, again, based on April, May. So they're basically a little bit better than the team that we saw in June. 2 points with the lineup. And this is where Boone, you referenced it about defending his guys. He defends his veterans. It's not really the younger guys. It's the veterans. Verdugo, to split that at bats, you know, you're seeing why a division rival was so quick to just trade him, get him up your team. It was easy to see why the Red Sox just wanted to get rid of this guy, obviously.
He's terrible.
He's hitting 230. Yeah, he goes 0 for 6 last night. He'll be in the lineup tonight. There's no doubt he'll be playing tonight.
He's allergic to batting gloves. Is he allergic to hitting with runners in scoring position? Is he allergic to
breaking
gloves?
He'll be in the lineup tonight. And that's the point you made, accountability. There is no accountability. DJ LeMahieu, why is he even on this roster? What does he offer you? The guy is hitting 190. Why? Because he had a grand slam 2 weeks ago and everyone went nuts? I mean, it's enough already with getting him in the lineup. And then, you know, with the Volpe situation, I have to answer this question. I've talked about it with a couple of my Yankee friends. It seems like Volpe gets preferential treatment over guys like Cabrera, Peraza, Rice. And now you're seeing it with Austin Wells. Those guys cannot get consistent at bat. They're young guys. They've all been in the minors for years. Volpe was in the minors for like basically a day. He got handed the shortstop job because he had a great spring training, which obviously we know spring training needs very little. You know, he's okay. He's definitely not a superstar. And for the Yankees to keep defending him, and you look at guys like Bobby Witt Jr. and Gunnar Henderson and De La Cruz, you know, so what is the why do they keep running him out there? He's in a massive slump.
What are they supposed to do, Ari? And you have a lot there, and thank you for the call. Appreciate you checking in. What are they supposed to do? What do you mean keep running him out there? I mean, once they made the decision, and they didn't just hand him the job. Remember, it was supposed to be Peraza's job. Going into that spring training a couple years ago, Peraza was the favorite. Volpe won it from him. So they didn't just give it to him. He earned it. He won it in spring training. But once you give him that job, now he's the Yankee shortstop moving forward. And you got to be prepared to take the lumps along the way. And they did last year. I mean, we know they missed out on the postseason. Guy hit 209. Oh, he won a gold glove. He won a gold glove. Yeah, so did Ray Ordóñez. And he also did it hitting better than 209, I might add. Not much better, but you get the point. And I'm not saying Ordóñez, I'm just saying that to be facetious. Obviously, I know Volpe's a much better player offensively than Roy Ordóñez, but let's not make it like that's the be-all, end-all. He plays terrific defensive shortstop. So that's what it is then? That's what Volpe's doing here? What, he's an 8-9 hitter who's just going to give you a gold glove and steal some bases? No, that's not what a top pick is supposed to be. He's supposed to be better than that. They said it themselves. Cashman said it. We played you the cup before. Volpe was crushing it this year. He was crushing it this year to start the year. And he fell off again. He's been inconsistent. It's not year one. It's year two. And how come other young shortstops that you referenced, you know, Witt, Henderson, whatever, De La Cruz, how come other young shortstops have no problem being superstars right away? This is not an age thing either. This is a Volpe thing. Now, I still believe in Volpe. I mean, I've seen the flashes of superstardom. So I'm somebody who's been proven wrong too, because I said earlier in the year, I'd take Volpe, Soto, Judge, even over Betts, Freeman, Otani. And a lot of you were saying, oh, come on, Sal, you're nuts to put Volpe in that category. But I believed in him. And what he was doing, I believed it was legit. Hammering the ball the other way. Hitting it with authority. The speed. You just see it. He looks like an electrifying player. And yet, for the second straight season, you look at the numbers and you watch him on a night-in, night-out basis. It's immensely frustrating. Because the potential is there. The results are nowhere near where they need to be. And yet, we're the ones who hold him accountable. And John Boy in particular in this case, and Boone flips out and gets mad. Maybe because the truth hurts. Maybe because he thinks the negative talk and comments are going to be detrimental to the development of Volpe because he can't take any criticism. I don't know, but we're not making this stuff up. This is the reality.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges. And acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, three-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.